Well, one of the things that Bruce was bringing out that concerned the project office, that we were a closed shop.
Right.
We weren't. We let people in and out of the place whenever they asked. And I gave a lot of interviews to newspaper people, a couple of people that in the television media.
Was there anything, as you remember talking about the openness, was there anything that really came through that was secret that you couldn't let anybody know about?
I can't remember the call because I was separated from the secret stuff. The secret building. I knew the guys and I talked to them and everything, but I asked them for favors whenever I needed to get them to do some work for me.
But there was cooperation with them, but
yeah,
you were doing UFO studies and they were doing other things.
That's right. They were doing real intelligence work.
Right. There had been some talk that there really were multiple investigations of UFOs, and the Blue Book was one of them.
Well,
did you find that as the case, or what was it?
I don't know that there was, because I never had much to do with CIA, and DIA came on later. And they never bothered me at all. I have very little contact with them.
So you got your assignments, your cases. You were pretty much open to do what you wanted to do with those. Were you ever given? Somebody once said, and I think I read it more than one source, that you were told disprove all of this.
Bullshit.
Didn't happen.
No, Carl. I never had anybody tell me. Anyone from the general at Safoy on down to lie or deceive anyone about the project. Never. They never. I don't. No one ever said you can't say this.
I guess your general planning when this whole thing started came out with a memo, which I think started Project Sign,
right.
Grudge, and all
yeah,
that.
Sign.
And when science started, then it was Grudge, then Blue Book. His initial concept was, or thoughts, according to the memo, that there were, I would make sure Geth is right, that there were UFOs, they were real, they were metallic, disc-shaped, high-performance craft beyond what we knew about at that particular point, and it deserved to be investigated. Now, after all of the time that you spent at Blue Book, were his initial observations right or wrong?
Well, I never read the real memo, but I know the essence of what it said. But as far as the flying saucers are concerned, it never proved to be correct. The stimulus or stimuli of all of the cases we had, we never recovered or were able to retrieve anything that looked like a starship or intergalactic vehicle of any sort. That's what I was looking for. I honestly thought I was going to find one, but I never did.
So the rumors about starships being hidden at Wright Pass, you didn't see it?
No. Absolutely not.
Now, a lot of attention's been focused, obviously, especially recently with the new book on Roswell, on the Roswell case.
Yeah.
And you told me that when we were talking before, there really was a Roswell file.
There was a folder.
Okay.
A folder about as big as this with newspaper accounts of what transpired out at the ranch or wherever it was. But there was no formal correspondence that I could find with regards to Roswell.
Was there any decision beyond the newspaper? You said there was a card in there.
Yeah, there was a card, because every file had a card. What was the evaluation of the case? Because we had different categories. Celestial, balloon, aircraft, or what have you. So, in that particular file, the card stated that it was a balloon. And that was the end of it.
Okay. You had, the investigation has been launched by the GAO.
No.
To try and find some things, because there have been, over the years, allegations that the Air Force covered up a lot of this. And out of over 12,000 reports that you had, and I think I went through the numbers, there were roughly 700 that were called unidentified.
Right.
Which works out, if my math is right, to about 6%.
That's pretty much, cool. Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, when they say unidentified, why did you come up with that qualification? What was it? What do you think it were?
I never really thought too much about what they could have been. I just didn't have enough information to place them in any particular category, or to say this was an aircraft, or a balloon, or the planet Venus, or Jupiter. Those were two that used to come up in the spring and in the fall. I said, Jupiter and Venus were chased all over the place.
Okay.
But they're very prominent. They're a magnitude of minus two. So they're real bright, especially when the moon is at a quarter. But the unidentified, we were never able to place specifically into a particular category to say that this was a planet, this was a aircraft, or what have you.
How many, as you need your recollection of all those years, did you ever come across one that actually was, say, a space capsule that had come back to Earth, and you identified it as, because there was a lot of experiments
going on.
You mean
space debris?
Yeah, some space.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I used to look for those. Actually, I wanted to recover pieces and fragments and of those so that I could give them to the laboratory and let them do an intelligence analysis. I picked up a couple of those, but that's it. But I was always looking for them.
Now, when we look through things, and I've gone through the Blue Book report, and we've talked about it before, and it was an impressive list of people that you said had been there, including Phil Donahue. More than once.
Got the page around here somewhere.
But lots of people had been to Blue Book and had talked to you. What did they really want to know?
They wanted to know everything about the program, how we were conducting the program, what the analysis were, how many people were involved in the program, how we went about it, and I always fell back on the Air Force regulations. Back in the 60s, we used to get all the bases involved with Air Force Regulation 200-2. And that's the way they reported to Wright Patt. They pick up the phone and say, hey, we got some, spill it. And then they send the information through either a formal report or through teletype, and then we'd get grinded.
Did it go to you first, or did it go to FTD first, or who got it?
It used to come directly to me.
Okay. And anything that came into your office, you'd know about?
Yes.
All right, what's your response to the charge that all the good cases somebody went through at night and took them out of your files and they were shredded or something like that?
Not unless they had a clearance to get in the building. No, I don't think so.
Everything was there.
Yeah,
so that, was right.
Like I say,
yeah.
The room wasn't any bigger than this when I first came up. And one side of the room was a dive-bomb machine, and we had all the records. And they ended up there from all the bases throughout the country. If they had something, they reported.
That's a tough question for you to answer, maybe, but when they pulled the plug on Blue Book, was it a good idea, or should it still be going on? Or is there something like it still going on?
I felt at the time, especially after Dr. Condon submitted his report to the Air Force, that it was time that to close it, because it had become a public relations office. We weren't doing any scientific investigations anymore. And that was at the beginning, that's exactly what the purpose of the program was, to see if we could find the stimulus that we could channel into research and development so that we could build one of our own. Back in those days, Carl, we thought, even I thought, because I was still going to college, that these things that people were reporting were vehicles that were probably of Russian origin. How come they had them and we didn't? But it didn't turn out that way.
If you had it to do over, would you still do Blue Book the same way?
Oh, I'd love to. Yeah, it was very interesting. When I first got into it, I was egotistical enough and young enough at the time to think that I was going to find the answer to this puzzle. I really thought so. Didn't turn out that way.
So with the GAO investigation now, are they going to find out anything? Is there a smoking gun buried somewhere?
There's no smoking gun that I can think of. But the more I get away from the service, I understand all of these things that people do from here and the base there and this and that. I don't know what's going on now, but as far as Blue Book is concerned, there's no smoking gun. No. Unfortunately, we never did find anything that we could put our fingers on, or an instrument of any kind. I was always interested in that, especially the navigation of these so-called interstellar spaceships. I said, how in the hell did they get here? The navigation system would have been beautiful. It would have had to have been.
But you never had it.
No.
If one of them was brought to Wright Pat, would you have known about it?
I think so. I knew enough people on the base. Something like that would have come in, Carl. They would, some way or other, they would have contacted me. A lot more people knew me than I knew them. And they knew where the office was, especially when I moved out to the little shack out of 275. I used to get a lot of visitors there. So they could walk in and out without any problem.
No alien visitors, though.
No.
In one case, and then this was a book, and you can buy 9,000 books on the subject of UFOs. And in this particular case, this is one by Kevin Randall. But they were talking about a tape that had gone into, it was 1952, I think, 50, 52, whatever that range. And there was a tape that was turned in to the Air Force for examination on Mariana. It was a Montana film, I guess. And apparently, he said that they turned in the tape, and then when they got the tape back or the film back, there were some sequences missing that were the good parts. When you got evidence, I guess that's the best word I can use.
Yeah.
And you returned it. Was it returned in exactly the same condition?
That's exactly, yes.
Nothing was ever done to it.
Yeah. Now, if I wanted a copy of it, right, I would ask the person who submitted it if I could make a copy. And they keep the copy.
Gotcha.
But I don't remember ever doing that. I did that with a couple of photos that appeared to be interesting. But
that's an interesting word. Use the word interesting. Did you ever see one photo that really, that you couldn't explain, but you said, ha-ha, this could be one of those extraterrestrial vehicles we're looking for?
No, I never did. I've seen a lot of interesting photos, but nothing like what I would have thought or would come to mind of being a spaceship of any kind.
I got you. This one, before we run out of tape, I want to make sure we get it in. Back to Blue Book, and you were very open with Blue Book,
yeah,
as you've said. There has been accusations that the government has been less than open on a lot of this.
Yes.
Should the government be open on something like this, or is it so sensitive that indeed parts of it should be kept secret? How open should you be as a government?
Well, I'm sure that there are the research and development projects that are going along at a normal or pace, which should be kept secret until the development is at the stage where they could become operational.
But should they keep something secret if we got an extraterrestrial craft?
No. Because I don't think you could. I once made the statement that if one of them landed at Wright-Patterson, that the first thing I'd do, I'd procure a flatbed. I said, I personally would drive it up to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue and say, Mr. President, I present you with a spaceship. I really thought that one day I might be able to do that. I haven't been able to do that up to now. No, I don't think that you should keep that kind of information away from the public. No.
So your answers to the critics who say that this is all big cover-up, you were on the inside.
No, I never covered up anything. I never had to.
It was fascinating work, though.
You tell people the truth, yes. You tell people the truth and they don't believe you. And sometimes you get into yourself into trouble with witnesses or observers. I like to call them observers because they submit something which they truthfully can't identify. And because of their patriotic sense, they think they should report it to the Air Force. And they're honest about it. And sometimes when you give them the answer of your analysis of the stimuli, which they observe, they don't believe you, which is all right. Not everybody knows everything. You try to duplicate the weather and what have you. You can't put it in the laboratory. It's impossible. But sometimes people get kind of irked about it. Is that type of information, like dates about how the program got started and the people that visited the program? I came across it. I'm glad you were working on it. I had lost this thing. I finally found it in one of the boxes in my apartment.
I've got to ask you this one because we've talked about it before, and it's not the one I put on record, but in one of the things I had talked, and I wonder if it was in this thing or what it was.
The only thing I could think of, Carl, was that at the time, that they were doing the report, Battelle got involved. And Battelle, I don't think really wanted to be associated with the Air Force or haven't been worked for. That's the feeling I got in talking to people about it. They got paid, but that's all they wanted to acknowledge.
I guess you. I think it would be fascinating, Paul. I think you ought to put that stuff down there because